All right, and as already stated, we have Brother Kenny and Sister Dana Pride who are going to be sharing some things with us this morning. We love and appreciate greatly Brother Kenny and Sister Dana Pride. They have helped our church and our daycare in more ways than one, and they have some special things they want to share with us tonight. We're looking forward to it, and I believe Sister Dana is going to go first.
Hello, everyone. First of all, I want to thank everybody for your prayers for during the fires by our house. It seems like every year we have a fire, but every year it gets closer and closer. But God saved it once again. Praise God. Anyways, I'm just going to tell you a little bit of family history about me to get to know me a little bit better. I grew up in a pastor's home. I was born in Los Banos. My parents met in Bible school, and my dad taught at Bible school for a little bit, and then he started a church in Los Banos. During that time, he owned a donut shop and sold donuts to make ends meet. Then we moved to San Gabriel, El Monte area, where he started a church. He may have taken over a small work, I'm not sure. But anyways, we spent many years there. We first lived in an apartment. And El Monte, you know, is a rough area. Even back then, as a little kid, the neighbors used to fight and have shootouts with each other. And one night, we had a evangelist there, and we heard a bunch of screaming outside. And we went out to see what it was. And this guy was standing over a pregnant woman getting ready to cut her open with a knife, a machete. And so my dad and the evangelist went down there and said, "Get off her, get off her." And the guy came up and started running after my dad with the machete. And my dad said, "In Jesus' name." And the guy threw the knife at my dad and barely missed him. Anyways, that was just a little highlight of El Monte. Then when we were leaving there and they were selling the church, they found a decapitated head on the property. So thank God he got us out of there in time. We started traveling as evangelists and missionaries to raise funds to go to Germany to be missionaries. Because back then, missionaries weren't allowed to work. They were only, they were living off whatever anybody supported. I'm not sure if that's the way it is still, but for the most part, they're supported by people from the United States. So then, we finally went to Germany in 1979. I was 11 years old, and the first place we went to live was at the German Bible school in a castle. And we lived on the top floor. And I don't think we were there maybe about a month. And then some guy in the middle of the night, a military guy, knocked on our door saying, "You guys need to be ready, be prepared to leave because a war might break out." And we heard the military tanks driving down the road, the military planes flying overhead and flying so low that we're breaking the sound barriers. And, yeah, that was awakening for a young kid our age, 9, 11, and I think my sister was 12, to wake up to that, sounds of war and thinking about having to leave, and we just got there, and the guy said, all the military families will leave first, and you'll be second, but you need to be prepared. So that was kind of a culture shock. And then you always heard the tanks driving down the road. The whole years I was there, you know, it was always preparing for war over there, it seemed like. And then I grew up to be an adult, and I started working there on the base. first I worked as a first purse comm under high security, giving out high security clearances and going on training missions with the military as admin. So that was pretty interesting. Then I worked for the financial district there on base, and we were always getting bomb threats, having to stand outside away from everything and wait hours outside just for them to clear us to go back to work. So it was always, you know, war was the second thought all the time over there. Then I moved back to, when I turned 18, I moved back to to California for a minute. Then I came back to Germany. And I wasn't in church for a while. And then I met my husband, my first husband, in Germany, and I moved to Maryland with him. In Maryland, I got back in the church and went to Brother Chester Wright's church back there. And then we moved to Texas, and I went to Brother Bourne's church. And then I finally came home to California, and Sister Nichols is the one that picked me up from the airport. And that's a whole other story I'll tell another time. I'm going to give the phone to Kenny, and he's going to tell his testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Dana. Wow, what experiences that you shared with us tonight. Brother Kenny, are you ready?
I guess I'm ready.
Okay, go right ahead. Kenny?
All right. Well, I've been in church not all my life, but this is all I know. Ever since I'm a third generation Pentecostal. Don't know anything about Buddha. I don't know anything about the Catholic Church. I don't know anything about Jehovah Witness. All I know is this Jesus name, baptism, and one God. And it was drilled into me ever since I was a kid. And kind of weird how things turned out for me, because I had good grandparents and my mother, and they were really involved in church. And I just want to let the young people know that the best testimony is not mine. I have a testimony, but it's not the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony is to say, hey, I've never drank any alcohol, or I've never did any drugs, and that girl or that guy, that's the only person I've ever been with my whole life. That is the best testimony. And I believe that with all my heart. And when I was growing up, I grew up, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old, got baptized by Brother Shockley in Baldwin Park at 1972. And then went to church there for a long time. And then they changed pastors there, and we wound up moving to the El Monte Church. And that was pretty much my whole life right there. And it's kind of weird, though, because I had two directions in my home. I had a great dad. My dad was a good man, but he was a functioning alcoholic. And one way I would see that way, and then, you know, my mom and granny would always take me to church, and I would see that way as well. So, you know, kind of got that double standard, I guess you would say. Anyways, when I was 20 years old, I decided I wanted to try the world out and see what it was all about, because I felt like I was missing something out there. And I'm just telling you, young people, there is nothing out there in the world that's going to satisfy you. Even Moses said, for a little while, for sin is pleasurable for a season. And it is. And then the destruction comes. And then all the bad things coming into your life.
Yes.
And I remember I was kind of like the prodigal son. I lived in El Monte, and I took off to Las Vegas. And when I got to Las Vegas, I got in a whole bunch of trouble. And then, you know what? It's funny. It's like, it didn't matter how bad I was or how tough I acted or how much drugs I used or how much alcohol I drank, I could never, ever fit in. Because everybody always looked at me and said, there's something weird about you, dude. And they would, and I know what it was. I know that it was my upbringing, and I didn't cuss like they cussed. And, you know, and I didn't do the things exactly like they did. And they knew that I had been sheltered most of my life, and then I'm coming into a whole world, and I just never could fit in. It didn't matter what it was. And I remember when I first moved to Vegas, and in Vegas they have lightning storms. And when they have a lightning storm, it'll rattle the whole house. And your room will turn purple. And I remember sitting in my bed, and I'm just like scared to death. And I'm sitting there praying, God, please don't come. And these are the things in the back of your mind that you're saying, and that I was saying, and I was just telling God, please don't come. Don't come right now. And, you know, I got involved with drugs and a lot of guns, got mixed up with some bad people, and wound up getting in trouble. And finally got caught, and when I got busted, I got caught with illegal firearms, drugs. I got caught with stolen vehicles and a lot of stolen credit cards, and they busted a bunch of people that was in this gang, and I wound up in jail, and I went to the, I remember I was going to my arraignment. I didn't know exactly how much trouble I was in. I knew I was in trouble, but, you know, I thought maybe I'd do a year or two and come back out. And Judge Guy, he was one of the toughest judges in Las Vegas. They used to call him Hang 'Em High Guy. That was his nickname. And if you got him, you were going to do some time. And he started reading everything that I had done. He says, sir, do you know what kind of trouble you're in? I said, no, not really. And he says, well, you got 24 accounts, and each one of them face 1 to 10 years. And this is the first couple of days, so I was still kind of high, and, you know, I wasn't, it wasn't sinking in until about a week and a half later. And I remember going back to court for something else. And when I got back to my cell, and I just sat there for a second, and I was laying on my bunk, and I was looking up, and I said, Kenny, what have you done? I was raised in the church. I could have done good things when I was younger, and kind of messed with me a little bit. And I remember I just started to cry and say, God, if you can help me out of this, or if even if I got to face all this time, then just be there with me. And I remember that, you know, jail's kind of segregated. You know, you have the Mexicans, you have the blacks, you have the whites, and everybody's kind of segregated. I remember a black guy came over and started talking to me. And he's the one that reintroduced me to God. He was there for a double murder. He'd been there for 20 years already, and he was coming back to the parole board. And he said that, I can see in you, you know about this, and you need to turn your life back over to God. And I did. And they're in jail. And I remember I got a call, and they said, hey, you got a visitor. And I said, who's going to come visit me? I don't have anybody here. And when I got up to the glass window, it was Brother R.P. Blizzard from Las Vegas. Didn't know him from Adam. I'd never met him in my whole life, but he's sitting there with a big smile on his face. And my mom had called him and told him, hey, my son is in jail. Can you go visit him? And that man that came and visited me once a week, and he went to every case that I had, he would show up there at court. And I remember him speaking to the judge on my behalf. And I remember the judge saying, if everything that he's saying is true about you, I'm going to give you a chance. And I wound up getting 3 5-year sentences running concurrent. So I just had to do 5 years. So I counted myself blessed when that was all over and said and done. And here's the thing is that, you know, once you've been out in the world and you think, God can't use me no more. And if you're a young person, if you messed up, it's okay. God has mercy and God loves you no matter what. And there's a lot of things that God wants to use. He can use the worst person out there. He can use that person. And I just wanted to let you know that there's nothing out there in the world that's going to satisfy you like this church. Like this one God revelation, there's nothing like it. And if you have messed up and done a few things, God can still use that. And I've got some few Bible examples that I'm going to cut it short, but I've got some few Bible examples that I want to share with you that I've written down, just to let you know that God can use still a broken soul, and He can use a person that is messed up. And Abraham, he was too old. And Isaac was a daydreamer. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy was too young. David was an adulterer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The devils and the disciples fell asleep. Martha worried about everything. Mary Magdalene, she's too bad to talk about. The Samaritan woman was married more than once. Zacharias was too small, and Paul was too religious, and Lazarus was dead. So there's no excuses why God can't use anybody in the church. For young people, old people, and middle-aged people, God can use us all, no matter what. And that's all I got to say.
And Brother Kenny, that was tremendous. I'm here in the office doing somersaults as you and Sister Kenny have Sister Dana have shared. I can't even talk straight right now. This has been tremendous, tremendous. First of all, Sister Dana, thank you. What experiences that you and your family had there in Germany and everywhere you were at Los Banos and Almani, all kinds of crazy things taking place, but God delivered you and your family. And I need to say this, church. Last week, Brother Kenny told me he needed to share some things with the church and with the youth. And I could hear the burden in his voice as he told me, I need to talk to the church, Brother Vic. And we heard it tonight. I want to say something. Brother Kenny, your testimony is a great testimony, because after growing up in the church and then being pulled into the world, the Lord brought you back to where you belong. And now you're here sharing your testimony. And you're going to help somebody else. You're going to help a young person. You're going to help someone who feels like they're down and out and their life is not of any good use to the Lord anymore. But you said it, Kenny. We all have value. The Lord wants to use each and every one of us. Church, I'm feeling the anointing right now. Why don't we just pray right now? Thank God for the great testimonies we heard from Sister Dana and Brother Kenny. And let's pray that the Lord would remind us that the Lord wants to use each and every one of us. Let's pray, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for these great words, for these great testimonies, Lord God. You've rescued Sister Dana and Brother Kenny, Lord, and now they're here in your house, and you're using them. You're using them even tonight to share their testimony, their powerful testimony that's going to help somebody else, Lord. We thank you for them. We ask you to continue to bless them, Lord God, in every aspect of their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Praise God. Well, church, with that said, we are looking forward to our part two of Brother Jason Hood's message tomorrow morning. We hope everyone will join us on the conference call at 10:15 a.m. With that said, everyone have a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.